Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, February 26th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 5 in Bill's story, the fifth paragraph down. Shortly afterward, I came home drunk, through one paragraph ending with lack of perspective, seemed near being just that. Comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Robin B., the 12 traditions, Rhonda R., the readers of the text are Sherry M., Joan Marie M., and Becca R. The share ID for yesterday, Sunday, February 25th, is 21,167. That's 21167. And for this morning's meeting, February 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21168. That's 21168. The newcomer greeter is Laura L.W., and the announcements person is Leslie M. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Robin B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Robin.
Morning, Mo. Thank you for your service and thank you for letting me serve. This is Robin B., compulsive overeater from Ohio. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Robin B. And now I will ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. Rhonda R., I am grateful and recovered in Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the chance to do service this month.
And thank you very much, Rhonda, for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers it's 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute your phone. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 5 in Bill's story. And we are down at the 5th paragraph, down at the bottom of the page, begins with "shortly afterward, I came home drunk," and it ends with "lack of perspective seemed near being just that." And I will now ask Sherry M. to get us started. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. "Shortly afterward, I came home drunk. There had been no fight. Where had been my high resolve? I simply didn't know. It hadn't even come to my mind. Someone had pushed a drink my way, and I had taken it. Was I crazy? I began to wonder, for such an appalling lack of perspective seemed near being just that. I am Sherry M., gratefully recovered in Wyoming, compulsive overeater, and I feel like this is the part in the movie of Bill's life where the paragraph prior to this says that, he had made a lot of promises, and his wife even observed that this time he really meant business. And watching this movie is where I would probably get the Kleenex box out, because I would watch Bill be in the bar, and even though he thought he meant it that time, that there was nothing that was going to keep him from taking that drink. And then that thought of, am I crazy? So having a lack of perspective, the main problem with a compulsive overeater, with a real compulsive overeater that I have learned, centers in my mind, not in my body. And so therefore I have a lack of perspective when it comes to this disease. So on this page I wrote, lack of commitment is not my problem. Lack of promises are not my problem. There's a saying that goes in AA that says, just keep your last drunk fresh in your mind and that will help you to not pick up. And that is a fallacy is what I've learned. And so thank you to A Vision for You for showing me the truth that my mind is never going to be enough to overpower the disease of compulsive overeating. So I've made many promises. I have lists and lists of all the methods that I have tried, taking it out of the house, only eating on Saturdays, only doing this, a lot of broken promises, but it's not my fault. My problem is I have a lack of power. And the bridge, I love Janet B. talks about the bridge being broken in the brain. So there's a neurotransmitter that is failing to go off to warn me of the danger, danger, danger when I have a thought. And the only thing that will prevent me from picking up is having a spiritual experience and a revolutionary change of the way that I have that I'm seeing life. So all of my ideas and perceptions need to be completely set aside, cast aside, so that there can be a whole new set. And the only way that that can happen is a daily reprieve, 24 hours, with working the steps rigorously and staying in action. And anytime I ever have somebody questioning whether or not they're insane, because sometimes I know for me, I bristled when I saw step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I said, I am not insane. I'm a perfectly sane person. Look at my life. I mean, here's the proof. And they would bring me back to here and say, hey, did you ever say you weren't going to do something and then you did it? Did you say you were going to fight it and then not be able to win that fight? Did you ever make these promises? Did you ever think you were going crazy because this disease was overpowering? Yes, yes, and yes. I am insane. I have a lack of perspective. And I can't wait to hear from all of you. I'm grateful that I have the solution, and it's a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity, which will not lead me to pick up if something is pushed my way. Thank you so much. God bless you.
And thank you, Sherry M., for getting this started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph this morning?
Jody E.
Jody E.
Marge O. from Massachusetts.
Marge. Okay, thanks, Marge.
Marge O. from Massachusetts.
Yeah, I got you, Marge. Who was after Marge?
Bessie. Bessie O.
Bessie O, okay. I have Jody E., Marge O., and Bessie O. Anyone else want to hit this lineup? On page 5, the fifth paragraph down of Bill's story, which begins with shortly afterward. If not, I will get started. Anyone else?
Lois P.
Lois P., gotcha, Lois. All right, let's go with those four. Jody E., Marge O., Bessie O., and Lois P. Good morning, Jody. Everyone else mute, please.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., a gratefully...
Oops, Jody.
Sorry.
There you are.
Muted.
Yeah. Okay.
Good morning, everyone. Jody E., recovered in California. So yes, indeed, this paragraph describes the real compulsive eater or addict of any kind. Once we have become powerless, we are powerless. No decision, no resolution, no swearing on a Bible, nothing is going to keep me from picking up again. I am powerless over food. It doesn't matter how much I need to stop. It doesn't matter how much I want to stop. I simply cannot stop. That is what makes me a compulsive overeater. So I need a spiritual solution, as was said. I need to do something different than what I've been doing for years, decades, many of us. Going on diets, going to doctors, trying this, trying that. No, we need something different. We need a message of depth and weight. We need a program of depth and weight. And that's what this book and what this program of Overeaters Anonymous offers us through abstinence and the 12 steps. I also want to look at this little sentence. Someone had pushed a drink my way. There are people who do that, who push. I think especially sometimes those who are abstaining but have not yet recovered. There's a desire for a vicarious pleasure by giving the food that I can't have to someone else. I don't know who pushed that drink towards Bill. I don't know that he was abstaining, but I've noticed this. I've noticed it in myself. There can be this desire to get a vicarious pleasure from making foods that I can't eat and giving them to others. I don't do that anymore. On the contrary, if it's not good for me, probably it's not good for anybody else. Especially not children. So I don't do that anymore. I don't push my alcoholic on Yelp today. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Jody E. Marge O, followed by Bessie O. Good morning, Marge.
Good morning, all. Thanks to Team Monday putting this all together for us. This paragraph, it's just so important to me because I had plenty of resolve and then it left. And I didn't know that I had this allergy of the body and that was always followed by the mind saying, go ahead, you can have a little bit. It's okay. You lost 30 pounds. You look good. Certainly you must be able to do this. Just have a little. And I found out the body couldn't handle it and the mind can't leave it alone. And it starts with the mind. I just didn't know back then I needed a power greater than myself. I thought I could handle it. And somebody else this morning counted all the I's, you know. It's just a matter. I, me, me. You know, I needed to know that just writing down a food plan and trying to follow it was not enough. I knew plenty about food. I had been on diet since I was 10 years old, but I didn't know about the allergy of the body and that I couldn't have a half a cup of ice cream without it starting this whole litany of I gotta have, and not caring about anything or anybody except when could I get this food? How fast could I get it? So, you know, a day at a time, I'm recovered. I enjoyed this meeting. I love the people who share and are open and honest, because then every day isn't easy. But I've enjoyed lots of days of abstinence and not having to think about how can I get this, how can I get that. I've learned how to take care of myself, make sure I have the proper food with me. You know, if I'm traveling or whatever, there's things I pack no matter what, and just learn to read a menu and ask questions. That got sugar in it? Because there's lots of things that maybe I wouldn't suspect, and it did. So I keep my food fairly simple because I'm not a great cook, but I'm good enough. So there you go. I hope you all have a great Monday, and thank you.
And thank you very much, Marge O. from Massachusetts. Bessie O, followed by Lois P. Good morning, Bessie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for leading this morning. This is Bessie O, recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. I didn't hear the earlier share, but I was struck by the I. And it's just in such contrast to later when we read about Bill's recovery on the bottom of page 14, for if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifices for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. So I'm reminded that, that phrase or that paragraph or that comment, and then this one, just remind me of, it's not just the highs, when it says about the low spots. And with this, it's like, he meant business. We're like, okay, let's do this. And then just the agony of like, why did I do it again? I just have a pit in my stomach reading it, just remembering feeling exactly like that. And for me, it was just like working so intensely to try to arrange the outside so that I would have this internal experience that I heard other people. And it was just a tremendous amount of work. And it wasn't just the low spots ahead that showed, that revealed to me, that I just wasn't really surrendering. It was the high spots too. It was like, I ate even when everything was okay, when I had all these things that I thought I was eating over before. It's like, wait, I have this, but I am still turning to the food. Wait, I'm in program and I have this great sponsor and I am still turning to the food. The first step is we have to put down the food. And for me, it was the food behaviors. I had put down the extra licks, bites, taste, the little extras, the little, like, seemingly small things. Was I crazy? I began to wonder for such an appalling lack of perspective. What I read earlier, it's work, it's that self-sacrifice. We learn that the root of our problem is selfishness and self-centeredness. But we come to this by working through the steps 1 through 12, including working with others. So I feel a bit all over the place, except that I'm really grateful that I get to hear all of your shares after me. And I'm grateful that I get to share this morning. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Bessie. From Colorado. Up next is Lois P. And after Lois,
what page
I'm going to
are we
take
on?
Another. I was just going to say that. I'm going to take another lineup of people next, and we are on page 5 of Bill's story, where the 5th paragraph down. Shortly afterward, I came home drunk, and it ends with lack of perspective seemed near being just that. And after Lois P., I will take another lineup of names. Okay. Good morning, Lois.
Hi, good morning, Mo, and thank you so much for your ever-present support and service. Good morning, everyone. Lois P. here, gratefully recovered in New York. Bill's story is so painful to me because it's my own story. And this particular paragraph, I'm witnessing the continuation of a breakdown of his foundation of who he thinks he is, who he tries to be, of the sense of willpower and even his willingness. All of that is now coming to an end. It's crumbling. This is someone who had seen great success in his life, as I considered sometimes myself to be. And the sense of powerlessness was something completely unknown to him. He's experiencing it now. Fully. It's very sad. It's really heartbreaking to see someone who is about to be crushed by their own inability to survive something like this major addiction, which is something that I have, that I also fought with most of my life and thought I needed to fix and overcome. And he's at the point, as I was too, where even though we have the intention and we think we have the will to stop, all it takes is for me passing a particular store or a restaurant or formally, or in Bill's case, someone just handing him a drink. There's complete weakness there. It's a totally debilitating process that in a way is so essential for a spiritual rebirth to happen. I didn't know that at the time. He doesn't know that now. And this willingness, and this, or rather this will to power, this will to stop, he's still believing that he has to do this because he hasn't had the spiritual awakening yet. It's a really painful time. as it was for me, as it may be for many who are on the line. So this this crumbling of his self-confidence and his ability to survive this terrible addiction is what we're witnessing now, and it's essential, I believe, in having a rebirth and in finding a new way of living. But first, a death has to come, and I see in this paragraph and ones to continue on, that's what I'm witnessing, is the death of Bill's ego and the potential for a new beginning for him. So thank you, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Lois P. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we're on page 5 of Bill's story, fifth paragraph down. Shortly afterward, I came home drunk, and it ends with lack of perspective seemed near being just that. Who would like to share?
Deborah G.
Deborah Jennifer. G. Who was that, Jennifer?
Jennifer L.
Okay, got you, Jennifer. G, Jennifer L. Anything else? This short paragraph, but powerful.
Melinda.
Melinda, what's your last initial?
H as in horse.
H. Thank you, Melinda. Deborah G, Jennifer L, Melinda H. We got time for more.
Rita Q.
Rita Q. Got you,
Michael.
Rita. Anyone else?
Hello, hi, Caroline White.
Wait a minute, I didn't hear any of that.
Sorry, Russell S.
Russell S. Okay, I'll stop there. We got Deborah G, Jennifer L, Melinda H, Rita Q, and Russell S. Please give me the first initial of your last name and the state you're calling from. Everyone else mute except Deborah G. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo, and thank you so much, excuse me, for your service this morning. And everyone's service this morning, making this meeting possible. I'm so grateful for this meeting and all of you. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line and with us today. And what was coming up for me, and because was the words I would tell myself, I got this. I got this. You know, with an alcoholic food. Oh, I got this, you know, and then it was proven wrong because I would go back to the alcoholic food, continue to go back to the alcoholic food and not even knowing what happened. I guess that's like that mental twist. And then feeling the insanity of continuing to do that over and over and over. That delusional thinking that I had, I got this, I got this. And that delusional thinking, I just didn't see. You know, I couldn't see reality. I couldn't see the truth. And it wasn't until someone else pointed that out to me, did it wake me up and I had the awareness. But before that ever happened, I didn't know. I was stuck in that delusional thinking, which again was shared. My thinking, that's the problem, you know, and that's why I have all of you. Even today, my thinking can get delusional. I have all of you. Thank you all. That's all I have. Thanks. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Colorado. Next is Jennifer L., followed by Melinda H. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning to everybody. The line where he says, was I crazy? I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and I'm on coming back into a vision for you. And I'm
I think over 40 days, I haven't even counted, so of abstinence, and I'm on step two. And I'm reading the big book, and I'm, according to the story, so yesterday, I'm doing well, but the addiction I'm finding is I put down the food, but it's still in my mind. And when I was at work yesterday, I'll give you a situation fresh. I was at work and I saw candy on the table, and I thought, oh my God, this is like food porn. I remember I was tired during the day. I had lots of stresses that in reality, I allowed myself, my ego thoughts, which are the thought, same part of my mind that would say, go have that chocolate. You know, you're close to your goal weight. Or you could start over again. And I thought, oh my God, am I crazy? I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh my God, am I crazy? This is nuts. I've done this so many times, 4 decades of really struggling with this compulsive overeating disease. But what I learned yesterday, I reached out to a fellow or two, and then I called my counselor who understands food addiction as well. And I said to her, I said, oh my gosh, my ego is feeding on stressful stories. And then that stress and the ego is very tricky. So cunning, baffling, what is it, startling? Boy, is it. So in recovery, so I guess I'm the type that's a slow revolve to the awakening. But the benefit of me slowly awakening to, I have this disease, it's not going to go away. There is a, thank God for a vision for you, OA, and all of you here. And my willingness to just observe more and more my ego, not respond, but just observe it. Do the work. Do what my sponsor tells me. I could hear my soul say, Jennifer, meditate more. Get some exercise in. And do all the other things that I'm being asked to do. So it's just really... Oh, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Jennifer L. Up next is Melinda H., followed by Rita Q. Good morning, Melinda.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for being here today. I cannot do this alone. That's the bottom line. I cannot do this alone. Yesterday evening, I was having horrible, horrible cravings. I haven't, you know, been cleanly abstinent, but maybe, I don't know, 7 to 10 days or something like that. But the insanity was just right there in my forefront, and it was surprising me. And then I realized that I had been saving some food that was sent home for my son that's not on my food plan. And although I wasn't obsessing about it while it was in the fridge, once it was out on the counter and he was eating it and, you know, all that stuff, I realized, you know, that I was craving that stuff. I wanted that stuff, but none of it is on my food plan. And so, you know, I had kind of set myself up, but so this is my story, the same as Bill. I can't control myself around the binge feed. I have no willpower. I used to years ago. You know, I could just cut back a little bit, and the weight would come off. But there just came a point in my life where it was just, it took over my mind. And I, too, have you know, multiple programs that I qualify for. But right now, the disease that's killing me is compulsive overeating. So I have to keep coming to these meetings day after day after day. I have to spend the time to prepare the food, to buy the food. I can't get in situations where, you know, that stuff is all around me, which I had done Saturday. You know, I went to an event that I really, really wanted to go to, but my binge food was just, it was everywhere. It was everywhere. And although I didn't need any of it, you know, I didn't want to insult the people who were offering it to me, but I, you know, the only term I could use that they would understand was, I have to eat my own food, and I called it diet food because that's the concept they would understand. But anyway, so lesson learned, and I am insane. I am insane unless I get the treatment every single day.
Fine.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Melinda H. from Virginia. Up next is Rita Q., followed by Russell S., and after Russell, I may be able to take one or two more names. Good morning, Rita.
Hi, Mo. Can you hear me okay?
Very well.
Well, thank you so much. My name is Rita Q., recovered, not cured, Irish, living in Manchester in the UK. Thanks to everybody on Team Monday as well. I've really enjoyed it. What I love about this, I can so relate, because it's like watching the second death. There's two deaths. Deaths that occurred for me when I came in. One was the death of the food, and the second was the death of myself, well, my ego part. And I really think this is a brilliant paragraph, because he's like, it's me going, where was my high resolve? Why couldn't I resist that? Why did I eat that? Why did I not? It was all about being good or bad, but really it was all my self-will, because my self-will will never kill itself. It'll never die. The only thing that will stop it is a lack of oxygen, which is basically me allowing God in. And God can only come in by me, you know, admitting that I am powerless over my alcoholic foods and that my life is unmanageable, but also that I can't do this on my own. You know, so I can do it intellectually. I can do anything intellectually for like 5 minutes. And then, it's just never going to be enough. So, for me, this is what this is about. I think Bill is coming to realize, you know, it's that coming to believe thing. And I'm like, okay, I can't do it. Lack of power is going to be my dilemma. So where am I going to get this power? And then that's when the journey for me started on a relationship with a power of my, you know, my understanding. And I was really touched this weekend. I went out with my brother's 60th. I flew to Ireland. We had a wonderful weekend. Lots of food and drink. I don't drink alcohol. I haven't drank alcohol for years, and it's the culture that drinks a lot of alcohol. And, you know, a lot of eating was done, but it wasn't, you know, I wasn't eating the same food. And it's just great to be reminded that of what I am and who I am. And that's never going to change, because I have a built-in forgetter and I always need to be reminded of it 24/7, because I'd like to choose to forget. So I'm just really glad I came on today, and, you know, I haven't got any high resolve anymore, because I haven't got any power. And it's, you know, the ego deflation begins in the morning. I put the jack back in the box, really slowly pushed in, and then the little bugger the next day is looking at me and laughing again. And I've got to just deflate that thing again all day long. And I can only do that with God's help, the God of my understanding. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you very much, Rita Q from the UK. And up next is Russell K. And after Russell, I'll be able to take a few more names. We're on page 5 of Bill's story. This paragraph down, shortly afterward, I came home drunk, and it ends with, lack of perspective seemed near being just that. All right, Russell, good morning.
Morning, all. Thank you, everybody, for being here, especially those that are serving. And I basically just want to say thank you, say what I said, and that's about it. Yeah, so I'm suffering with my ego, trying to call some shots that probably should be called. That's basically it. So, and it just manifests staying and manifests through my emotions, and to the point where, hey, you know what? Let's go over to Starbucks and get a mocha. Oh, that sounds good. Not really, though. Nothing's going to be improved by me doing that. And it's not going to help any situation. And I've just got to process my emotions, sit with them, and let them go. And let my ego go and understand that that's what this book is. That's all what this book is talking about in this program. All right, with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Russell S. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 weekdays, I can take about 2 to possibly 3 more names.
Caroline YT.
DK, okay, from South Bend, Indiana.
DK, who was before D? Carla?
Caroline.
Caroline, okay.
Caroline YT, yeah.
Okay, I have Caroline, I have D.
Veronica B.
Okay, and I'll stop there. Veronica B. All right. Up first, everyone else mute, is Caroline. Good morning, Caroline. Give us your last initial and where you're calling from. Press star 1 to unmute, Caroline.
Oh, hello, everyone. Sorry, I was muted. My name is Caroline YP. I'm calling from Ghana in West Africa, and I'm so glad to be here. I just looked at the time, it was 3 p.m. I'm like, just log on. And certainly lack of power is my dilemma, and someone just pushed a drink in front of me and I picked it. Where was my high resolve? And for me, it's contingent on my spiritual fitness, because there are times when people push my binge food in front of me and I'm not interested. I'm certainly not interested. When I've been in the diet, they'll put my binge food with me and I wouldn't be interested, but I'll be planning when I get off the diet, then I would eat. But I've been in program where you put my binge food in front of me and I'm not interested. And now you put my binge in front of me and I will be interested. And it's dependent on my higher power. On my own resolve, I am nothing. I can't do this on my own resolve. I need you all. I need my higher power. I haven't been able to work it out on my own. And I'll leave it there. Thank you so much. Thank you for service. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Caroline YP from Ghana, West Africa. Up next is DK, followed by Veronica B. Good morning, DK. Press star 1, D, to unmute. I don't hear you. There you are.
Can you hear me? D?
Yes, I can.
Hello. Okay. I'm sorry about that. You know what hit me was a lack of perspective. And was I crazy? You know, I love the program. I know the program. But if I don't use my sponsor, who really helps me really see myself, because things will slowly be revealed to you. And I think all of us who don't use that sponsor, we're really missing out. And I just been made more aware of the importance. And, you know, I can't really, you know, I it's the lack of clarity in our mind, you know, that perspective, that it takes us down bad paths, and we keep needing to be reminded of, you know, we have to work all the steps, and we're not crazy, but we're lazy. And I can only speak for myself. So I'm just encouraging everyone to really look and make sure that they're using all the tools that we got. And thank you all for making me more aware of my own actions. I really appreciate it and for all your service. This is Dee from South Bend. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DK. And our last chair for today will be Veronica B. Tell us where you're calling from. Good morning, Veronica.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Los Angeles, but I'm on vacation with my sisters, my two sisters who I adore and love and have been able to have a relationship with them because of this program, Colorado Springs. And I had to share because, you know, I'm really afraid for my recovery. I've gained over the last couple of months. And, you know, it might not sound like a lot to some people, but for me, it's a red flag. And, you know, this lack of perspective that Bill talks about in this paragraph, it's like, for me, like, I'm a compulsive overeater, and my life is unmanageable because of my thinking, because of my my thoughts that I think that I can, you know, will myself to behave a certain way and to compare myself that I can eat like others. And, you know, there were certain starches that I wasn't eating, and I started eating certain starches. And let me tell you, like that, just like once I start eating like certain starches, I want it every day. And this is my addiction. Oh, I'm up 7-8 pounds. You know how the frick does that happen? I start to defend myself. I stop trusting and relying on God. I start, you know, seeing food as sexy. And I just have to open my mouth and share today and turn it over and really just invite God into my day and just plan my next meal and ask God for help. Because God is the only one that's going to be able to relieve me of this, you know, this uneasiness, this, you know, I'm afraid. I'm afraid for my abstinence. So I had to just share, and with that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Veronica B., and thank you all those who shared this morning and even those who are on the line listening. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Joan Marie M. to read read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. Thank you for all the beautiful shares. This is Joan Marie M., Nevada, recovered by the grace of God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Thank you.
Oh, there's more, Joan Marie.
Okay.
Keep going.
Yes. The most important part here.
Yeah.
Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. You shall be with us in the fellowship of the Spirit, capital S. And you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you, Mo.